ஹரே கிருஷ்ண. ஸோ நமோ விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ணபிரஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமினி நாமினே நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பாஸ்சாத்ய தேசதாரிணே ஜெய் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைத்தன்யா பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர சிவாசாதி கௌர பக்தவிருந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராம் ஹரே ராம் 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஸோ திஸ் மார்னிங் வி கம்ப்ளீட்டட் தி செகண்ட் கேண்டோ. டுடே வி ஆர் சப்போஸ் டு டேக் தேர்ட் கேண்டோ சாப்டர் 6. But I just thought, because 6th chapter is connected to 5th chapter, a quick overview of what we have seen in the 5th chapter.
That portion is also not covered, 23rd verse.
5th chapter?
5th chapter, process of
creation. Oh really? It was not covered? Oh, acha, he didn't tell me. He covered the nectar. Panena de deva katha sadaya he covered. You should have left that for me. I like prayers, huh? Rava Sharma Dhatur. So all of that. That's why I told in Dharwad I will take in order, so that I also get to speak on prayers and other sections. Why do I have to speak every time only on creation? But he interestingly
the
22 verse onwards he left it for me. Okay, all glories. But of course, third canto, fifth chapter and second canto, fifth chapter is same. There is no difference. So, we will quickly go through. So, actually the conversation that Shukadev Goswami, Shaunakadi Rishis wanted to hear from Suta Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj requested to hear from Shukadev Goswami. That is the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. It starts from the 5th chapter only. The first 4 chapters sets the scene for the meeting of Maitreya and Vidura. That how first Vidura meets Uddhava and they have nice discussions of Krishna Katha. And finally when he wants to know more, he directs him to Maitreya and then he eventually comes to meet Maitreya. And in this 5th chapter is where he actually meets Maitreya. Dwari dunadya rishabakkurunam maitreyam asinam agada bodham kshattopasritya achyuta bhava siddhah papraccha shaushilya gunabitrupta. So it is mentioned that Vidura, who was the best amongst the kurus, was completely absorbed in Krishna. Maitreyam shaushilya guna abitruptah, by being completely satisfied with the gentle qualities of Maitreya. There is something called Samutriga Lakshanam. It's a Vedic art of looking at the face of the person, you can understand his nature. Like Brahmaji, when he saw the Supreme Lord, it is mentioned that Brityanugraha Kataram. So, it is mentioned that Brahmaji could see from the face of the Supreme Lord whom he met in Vaikuntha that this person is very affectionately disposed towards his servants. So that he could immediately see and he felt, oh, I have a very good master. This person very nicely takes care of his servants. Like that he felt. So here also, as soon as Vidura arrived at the banks of Ganga, Haridwar, where Maitreya was there. He felt, as soon as looking at Maitreya, he felt that Saushilya Guna Abhitruptaha. He was very satisfied with the gentle qualities of Maitreya, and he started asking. Of course, we say that Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinjana Sarvair Gunais Tatra Samasate Sura. So manifestation of wonderful qualities is certainly an indication of one's elevation in bhakti. But having said that, it's not a very, at least in the earlier stages, it's not a very reliable quality. One needs to know how to apply that principle. It's not meant to be applied on an objective basis. It needs to be applied on a very subjective basis. For example, we can't take two devotees who have been, let's say, practicing Krishna consciousness for the same duration of time and then say that, oh, he is showing wonderful qualities. He is more humble than person A, is more humble, more tolerant, more gentle, more obedient. So therefore, he must be a more advanced devotee. We cannot say that. Why? Because two people do not take up to Krishna consciousness with the same baggage, conditioning baggage. So sometimes a person who has lived a very pious life and has all sattvaguni conditionings can be immediately dovetailed into Krishna consciousness. But the rajoguni, tamoguni conditionings have to be erased. And anyone can take up to Krishna consciousness. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Shumbayama. One who has lot of sattvaguni impressions, he does not have a better chance of accepting Krishna consciousness. But having said that, he has lot of, his conditionings are dovetailable in Krishna consciousness. Say for example, sattvaguni conditioning means, if you remember reading from the Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter, 17th chapter, 18th chapter and all, sattvaguna is characterized by kartavyam ete eveti manaha samadaya sa sattvika. Whether it is duty in the mode of goodness or activity in the mode of goodness, performing it because it is meant to be performed. Duty bound nature. So this duty bound nature is dovetailable in Krishna consciousness. How? Because duty bound means what I have to perform, I need to perform. And what is devotional service? Anukulyasya sankalpo. So all you need to do is, your duty is to accept what is favorable to Krishna consciousness, and your duty is to reject what is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. All you need to do is to add a further definition of what is duty. That's all. And all sattvaguni conditionings can be dovetailed. But it is not necessary that someone would have taken up to Krishna consciousness with lot of sattvaguni impressions. Let us say that someone, two people, one with 100 kilograms of conditioning, unfavorable conditioning, and another person with 10 kilogram of unfavorable conditioning takes up to Krishna consciousness at the same time. After 10 years of sincere practice, both of them, let's say, have had 90% anarthana vritti. So, at the end of 10 years, if you evaluate them, both of them have had 90% of anartha nivritti, but still the first person has 10 kilograms of anartha, and the second person has 1 kilogram, because they both started out differently. So you cannot compare their qualities and conclude that he is more advanced, he is less advanced. But if someone has known person A and person B personally, right from the beginning, before they even took up to Krishna consciousness, then they can be evaluated. That is why in Madhurya Kadambini, when Srila Vishnu Jagadish Thakur talks about the stage of Nishta, he says there are two parameters that we can consider for Nishta. One is steadiness in practice of devotional duties. Second is steadiness in qualities. So he says, which is a reliable symptom of Nishta? So he says that you might find a person whose practice of devotional service may not be very steady, but he may be manifesting wonderful qualities, humility, tolerance and everything. On the other hand, you may see a very arrogant devotee, not very tolerant, but very steady in his japa, has never missed the morning program, has very steadily practiced. So, which is a more reliable symptom of Nishta? Steadiness in practice. That's what he says. And he quotes this verse. Nashta prayesho badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Steady practice is established. After that he says, tada, as a result of that steady practice of devotional service, he says, rajastamo bhava kamalobadayasche chetayetairana viddam stitam sattve prasidati. As a result of that steady practice of bhakti only, then the good qualities manifest. So if you see a person who is manifesting wonderful qualities without steadiness in practice of bhakti, one should understand that he has gained it from his, not by practice of bhakti, but by his prayer practice. Maybe by living a very pious lifestyle. But the advantage of bhakti is yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Whatever is favorable that you have gained by a pious lifestyle, practice of bhakti preserves it. And whatever one lacks, Krishna bestows it also. So therefore, here Vidura, being a pure devotee, saushilya gunabhi triptaha does not necessarily only refer to the gentle quality of a gentlemanly quality, but definitely he could see the spiritual elevation of Maitreya also. Otherwise, manifestation of secondary quality in itself is not a sufficient symptom of advancement in devotional service. Yeah.
Both of them 90% they have overcome the arahatas. One is remaining with 1 kg of conditionings, another one is remaining with 10 kg. So you said that we cannot compare them, that who is more advanced. Why don't we say that the person who has 1 kg of conditioning remaining is more advanced than other ones, may not be in this type of, like, overall seeing the 100% perfection?
I use the example of 10 years practice, considering that we have a way of understanding that both of them have not practiced devotional service in the previous life. That is an assumption. otherwise, you can clearly see. So that is an assumption. It's quite possible that someone could have actually gained those qualities and wiped out those unfavorable impressions by practice of bhakti also in a previous lifetime. That's a whole different case. We are talking about two people who have taken up to practice of devotional service in this lifetime, but with different conditionings, which we all see. It's all natural. and the nature of conditionings will also be different from person to person. So that is not a very reliable symptom, even though, so therefore then one may say, if it is not a reliable symptom, then why the shastras say yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura? The understanding is that it is based on a very subjective evaluation and not objective evaluation. Subjective evaluation means you say, oh, this person 10 years back he was like this, and 10 years he has practiced bhakti and he has become so much better. That way we can always see bhakti manifesting better qualities. But you can't pick out two people and say, oh, he is showing wonderful qualities, so he must be a more advanced devotee. That's not necessary. That's the point. Okay. So then Vidura starts by asking some very basic questions. Sukaya karmani karoti loko natai sukam vanya duparamam va vindeta bhuyas tateva dukkam yadatra yuktam bhagavan vadennaha. So he says, my dear Maitreya, why is it that people of this world engage in activities for two reasons? Sukha pravritti and dukkha nivritti. They want to increase their happiness and decrease their suffering. So they engage in activities. But it is seen that they are not very successful in accomplishing that. Generally it ends in more and more miseries. But still somehow they don't give it up. Why? This is the question that he is asking. What is it that is pushing them again and again to perform those same activities for increasing their happiness and decreasing their distress, even though they are mostly not successful? The reason is avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, avinivesh. It is not so obvious for people that how we all know how easy it is for us to convince people that this material world is a difficult place to live. It's not very easy to convince. It's very difficult for us to get convinced. It's not so easy. We may hear and we may say, in good association, we may say, yes, 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 this material world is a very miserable place to live. But then when our practice becomes little loose, then we realize, actually it's not that bad. Even for ourselves to be convinced that this material world is a difficult place to live is not easy. So Vidura is asking this question. So once I remember His Holiness Rompath Swami Maharaj was giving a class at GV, and he spoke on this verse, and he was asking, doesn't Vidura know the answer for this question? So he doesn't fall in this category. He is not performing any activity for sukha pravritti or dukkha nivritti. That's why he's asking, loko, he says. He doesn't say, why is it that I am doing like this? That's not what he is asking. Here he is telling, loko, other people, why do they do it? So, Maharaj was giving a very interesting answer. He said, it's not that Vidura does not know the answer for this question, but he wanted to experience the elevated realizations of Maitreya on this subject matter. So when great devotees also apparently ask about very basic subject matters, because the subject matter may be basic, but then you could have profound realizations from elevated souls on the same subject matter, and it has a very deep impact. So therefore Vidura wanted to hear from Maitreya on this subject matter. Apparently very simple. And of course, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also mentions, and Prabhupada also echoes the same thing in his purport, that Vidura, even though he wanted to know about the actual pastimes of Krishna, but out of natural humility, he does not directly ask about those subject matters. And another thing that is mentioned is that the Lord taught the secret knowledge to Uddhava. So even though it is called Uddhava Gita, it is not called Uddhava Maitreya Gita. It is called Uddhava Gita. Even though Maitreya was sitting there and heard the whole thing, but it doesn't say Uddhava Maitreya Gita, because it was very clear that the conversation was between Uddhava. And Shukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to whom? Parikshit Maharaj. But he was not the only person sitting there. There were 1,000 others who were sitting there. And same with Suta Goswami. Of course, Suta Goswami, Shaunaka, Adi, Rishis, everyone was sitting. Of course, there were other people also, probably they were sitting. But he wanted to know. Oh, I don't know. So he says that to understand if Maitreya heard that knowledge or not. Sometimes if you are standing and two people are speaking, even though you are there physically, but if it is just a one-on-one conversation between the other two people, very soon the third person may lose interest and leave. So Vidura wanted to know, clearly Krishna was speaking to Uddhava only. Maitreya was practically neglected. So I just want to know if Maitreya would have heard the subject matter or not and grasped it or not. So here it is mentioned that to understand if Maitreya heard that knowledge or not, in the beginning I will not ask the great soul in case he does not know. I will only ask some of my own simple questions. That's what he is thinking. If he knows that knowledge, then he will say, "Oh Vidura, on this subject I was taught by the Supreme Lord himself. And he has sent me here just to give this knowledge to you." Because Uddhava had already mentioned that Maitreya was assigned to deliver you this knowledge. And Maitreya also says this, "You are such a great personality, Vidura, that at the time of leaving, Krishna remembered you of all the people. And he assigned me to deliver this knowledge to you." So if Maitreya would have heard it right, then he would himself tell me and he would convey all the subject matters. But to break the ice, let me ask some simple questions like that. That's how Srila Vishnachakra Thakur is explaining here. Then he continues, Janasya Krishnad Vimukasya Devat Adharma Shilasya Sudukkitasya Anugrahaye Hacharanti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. So he says, in order to give mercy, he is glorifying Maitreya. Iha charanti nunam. You move about in this world. People like you move about in this world. For what purpose? Anugrahaya. For the purpose of showing mercy. To whom? Sudukkitasya janasya. For people who are very, very much suffering in this material world. Why are they suffering? Adharma shilasya. Because they are engaged in sinful activity. Why? Karmat. Daivat. Daivat means under the control of karma. Here the word karma indicates actually impressions. Because karma in itself does not push a person to act in a sinful way. But any sinful act, the impression that he gains, that pushes him. Avidya, bijam, papam. So here what is mentioned as karma is avidya and bijam. Who are under the control of karma? Krishnat vimukasya. Why are they under the control of karma? Because they are Krishna Vimukh. If they are Krishnan Mukh, Krishna immediately takes over and removes them from the clutches of karma. So the moment one receives the seed of pure devotion, from that moment onwards, the devotee is out of clutches of karma. That does not mean he will not have material suffering and happiness. That will be there, but that is directly provided by Krishna. But with a desire to bring him closer to his lotus feet. But that is not controlled by karma. But here it is mentioned, they are engaged in sinful activity under the control of karma because Krishna Dvimukasya, because they are ignorant of Krishna. And Janardanasya Bhavyani Bhutani, auspicious devotees like you move about in this world for the sole purpose of giving mercy to those suffering people who are suffering because they are Krishna Vimukh. So that way he is glorifying Maitreya. Then he continues, Tatsaduvarya Dishavartmasham Naha Samradito Bhagavan Yena Pumsam Hridistito Yachati Bhakti Pute Jnanam Satatva Digamam Puranam. He says, O Saduvarya, O best amongst the devotees, please speak about that auspicious path Yena Bhagavan, by which the Supreme Lord Hridi Stitaha Bhakti Pute Hridi Stitaha, who resides in that heart which has been purified by bhakti. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja ase shrutekshita pato nanunata pumsam. We will see 9th chapter Brahmaji only prays. So my dear Lord, please speak about that auspicious path by which the Supreme Lord, who is situated in the heart of those persons whose heart has been purified by the path of bhakti, gives knowledge from which one can understand the absolute truth. Which path should I follow? By following which I will get the knowledge from the Supreme Lord about the nature of the absolute truth. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. So what is that path? That's what he is asking. Karoti karmani kritavataro yanyat matantro bhagavam strayadishah yatasa sarjagra idam nirihah samstapya vrittim jagato vidatte. Then he asks about the purushavataras. Please explain how Krishna in his purushavatara features creates, maintains and destroys this material universe. Yata punasveka idam niveshya shete guhayam sanivritta vrittihi yogeshwaradi ishvara eka etat anupravishto bahudayata sit. He says, yogeshwara adishwara eka etat anupravishto bahudayata asid. How is that one person, Eko Nanatvam Anvichan Yogatalpat Samuttitaha, how is that one person expands into many living entities in this material world? How is that Karanodakasai Vishnu, who lies down in the Karana ocean or the Viraja river, how does that one person become many? Or in other words, how does this creation happen? That's what he's asking. This is another reference where that Eko Bahusyamaha indicates creation actually. Then, Kridan Vidatte Dvijago Suranam Kshemaya Karmanyavatara Bedaihi Manona Trapyatyapishrinvatam Naha Shushloka Maules Charitam Ritani. And also he says that apart from that, also speak to me about the different avatars that Lord Krishna takes and performs pastimes. Kshemaya karmani, with the sole purpose of bestowing auspiciousness. For whom? Dvija go suranam. For the brahmanas, for the cows and for the devatas. Charitamritani, of course here devatas means devotees only. Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asuras tadviparyaya. So devata means one who is a Vishnu bhakta. So in that sense. Charitamritani shrinvatam api manaha na tripyati. Yes, our hearts can never be sufficiently satisfied hearing these pastimes, so please speak about these subject matters. This is just an overview, that's why I am just quickly going through. Yais tattva bedair adilokanato lokan alokan sahalokapalan achiklapadyatra hi sattva sarvasattva nikaya bedodikrita pratitaha. He says, how does the Supreme Lord produce various planets? Lokan, alokan. Loka is the within the Loka, Loka mountains. Once you come to the fifth canto, you know, that will become clear. Almost around the 50% diameter of the Bhumandal, which actually splits the earthly hemisphere into two vertical parts. At the 50% diameter almost, there is this Loka Loka mountain range, which is circular. 2πd. Sorry. πd by 2, actually. The diameter is actually 500 million yojanas. At about 250 million yojanas from the, about 125 million yojanas, because diameter is 500 million yojanas, means radius is 250 million yojanas. About 125 million yojanas from the center is the Loka Loka mountain ridge. It is called Loka Aloka because within that Loka Loka is all living entities are there. Beyond that Loka Loka is the Aloka region where there is no Loka, no people. So basically he is asking, how does the Supreme Lord create places within the Loka Loka, beyond the Loka Loka, up and down? And how does he create the Lokapalas, Sahalokapalan? And how does he populate the various lokas according to the qualification of the living entities? Please speak about these subject matters in details. Like that, he is telling. Then he says, Yena prajanam uta atma karma rupa bidanam cha bidam vyadatta Narayano vishva srgatma yonir yeta chano varnaya vipravarya. Naha varnaya, please describe to us how the Lord in the form of Brahma creates the universe. So he asked about primary creation, about the creation of the planetary systems. So primary creation means creating the accommodation facility. Then Brahma's role is allotting rooms according to their choice and what they can afford. Karma and Swabhava. So I want to enjoy in this way. Pocket mein kitna paisa hai? How much can you afford? So based on karma and Swabhava. Karma means how much you can afford. Swabhava means what do you want. So based on that, the allotment is done by Brahmaji. He asked about primary creation, now he is asking about secondary creation. But then, Maitreya may ask, why don't you ask these things to your father? He's more, both were classmates, Vyasadeva and Maitreya were classmates, both of them studied under Parasharmuni. So, hey, my classmate Vyasadev, your father is much more accomplished. Everyone knows Vyasadev. And you are his son. Why you are coming to me? So he says, Paravaresham Bhagavan Vratani Shrutani Me Vyasamukada Bhikshnam Atrupnumakshullakshukavahanam Tesham Rite Krishna Katam Ratogat. I was not satisfied because he wrote that Mahabharata for a particular class of people, and which he mentions little later, but it did not have sufficient Krishna Katha, therefore it did not satisfy me. Tesham Rite Krishna Katamrita Ogat. It did not have the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, so it did not attract me. Why only Krishna Katha? So he says, Kastripniyat Tirta Padobidanat Satreshu Vasuri Biridyamanat Yakarnanadim Purushasya Yato Bhava Pradam Geharatim Chinati. He says, who can be satisfied hearing pure Krishna Katha? He says that Yak Karnanadim Purushasya Yato Bhava Pradam Geharatim Chinati. This pure Krishna Katha is so powerful that whereas hearing the other literatures which are filled with Gramya Sukha Anuvadir, Gramya Sukha Anuvad, when it is like, so if they don't, they will get benefit only if they come till Bhagavad Gita. So when they come and hear Bhagavad Gita, till then it benefits. Otherwise, the Geharatim Chinatti will not happen. The real medicine for cutting down the material affection in Mahabharata is there in Bhagavad Gita. If one neglects Bhagavad Gita and hears all the other rest of the things, it will not lead to Geharatim Chinatti. Whereas in Krishna Katha, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, because of the nature of being so direct, even listening to creation pastime cuts the Geharati. That's what he is indicating here. But then he says, Munir vivakshur bhagavad gunanam sakapite bharatamaha krishna yasminranam gramya sukanu vadair matir grihitanu hare katayam. But it is really a very commendable effort by my father, because he had a genuine desire to attract the hearts of those people who were completely materialistic into Krishna Katha. And for them specifically, he created this literature. But he put lot of Gramya Katha there into it in order to attract them to Krishna Katha. So, but I don't want that kind of a narration. I want some direct Krishna Katha. So, please speak about it. Then he continues. Sashraddhamanasya vivardhamana virakti manyatra karoti pumsa hare padanu smriti nirvritasya samasta dukkapyayamashudatte. The topics of the Lord, Shraddhadanasya Pumsa Vivardhamana, the topics of the Lord increasing in the mind of the devotee, Anyatra Viraktim Karoti, creates disgust with everything else. Ashu, very quickly, Samasta Dukkapyayam Datte, it destroys all suffering for that person who is Harehe Pada Anusmriti Nirvritasya. For one who is blissfully engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. What it means is, one who is blissfully engaged in Krishna Katha. For that person, viraktim anyatra karoti. Very quickly it happens. So therefore, he says that I have lot of interest and desire to hear this Krishna Gatha, so therefore please speak. Tan shochya shochyan avido nu shoche hare katayan vimukana ghena kshinoti devo nimishastu yesham ayurvratavada gati smriti nam. He says, I lament. Tan shochya shochyan, I lament for the most lamentable avidaha, ignorant people. Who are those? Hare katayan vimukan, who are opposed to the topics of the Lord. Why they are opposed? Aghena here means offenses. So neither do pious activities create a taste for Krishna Katha, nor do sinful activities do something specially removes one's, creates distaste for Krishna Gatha. The only thing is that here he is talking about those people who have accepted bhakti and lost it because of offenses. For them he is lamenting. So therefore he's, because the here he is telling, tan shochya shochyan avidonu shoche hare katayan vimukan aghena, because of offending devotees, because of committing the 10 kinds of offenses to the holy name and to bhakti, they have lost it. And I lament for those people. Kshinoti devo animishastu eshan ayur vrata vada gati smriti nam. Time destroys the life of those who are absorbed in useless words, actions and mind. So offenses are negative bhakti. It's like, I think last time also I gave this example. If a devotee commits a sinful activity or an activity which is not very conducive for one's devotional development, does he get punished or not? Okay, let me ask this way. If a devotee commits a sinful activity, does he get pap karma or not?
Yes.
Hmm? How many of you feel he gets?
Depends, accidentally or not.
What purpose is doing?
Hmm?
Accidentally or not accidentally?
Sinful activity. Means sinful activity.
He will not get.
If accidental and continuous bhakti, he will not get.
Okay.
Irrespective
of he will not get sinful reaction. That does not mean he will not get suffering. So here we are, what happens is a devotee is not really afraid of sins, accumulating sins. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana vibhyati swarga apavarga narakesh api tulyartha darshinah. So for him to get sins is not something he is afraid of, because his goal is to please Krishna. His goal is to attain prema. So he is punished in a way that he feels bad about it. So what happens to a devotee who commits a sinful activity? What happens is his progress in bhakti becomes slow. That is how he is punished. But he does not get a sinful reaction for it. But anyway, you say that you will get sinful reaction. But the devotee would say, okay, but at least नेहा विक्रम नाशोस्ति तो हो जाएगा ना, मतलब एटलीस्ट यू नो विल आई लूज माई डिवोशनल क्रेडिट्स. ए जेन्युइन डिवोटी, दैट्स व्हाट ही इज कंसर्न्ड अबाउट. सो व्हाट हैपेंस इज ही अक्यूमुलेट्स अ फर्दर सिनफुल इंप्रेशन बिकॉज ऑफ विच हिज फर्दर पाथ बिकम्स मोर एंड मोर स्टीपर एंड स्टीपर एंड स्टीपर. बट वॉट एवर लेट्स से इन इफ श्रद्धा टू prema, let's say hypothetically, is 100 kilometers. If he has already crossed 50 kilometers, and if he performs a sinful activity, it becomes little more steeper. One more sinful activity, little more steeper. But that 50 that he has covered is not taken away. But if he commits an offensive activity, one of the 10 offenses, then not only does the further path become steeper, but from 50 he goes to 45, 40, 35, 30, and eventually he goes 0, minus 5, minus 10, which means he goes beyond. At that stage he is called Harehe Katayam Vimukhan. He becomes Vimukha. He becomes Vimukha to Sadhu Sangha. He becomes Vimukha to taking instructions from a guru. He becomes Vimukha to hear about Krishna. He loses his bhakti basically. So basically this verse is talking about a person who had bhakti but lost it because of his offenses. That's what this verse is talking about. Srila Vishnachakra Thakur, I'll just read one part and then we will take questions. So here he says, there are three types of people related to topics of the Lord. Those with faith, those who have no faith, and those who are opposed. Three categories of people. According to Bhagavatam, those who have faith are Jata Shraddho Matkatasu, Nirvinno Karma Sarva Karmasu, or Hidrichaya Matkatadav Jata Shaddostu Yav Puman. Those are all categories of people who have developed that faith in Krishna. More or less we all fall in that category. We have faith, that's why we are sitting and days together hearing Krishna Gata. And such persons have faith that bhakti is the only process for achieving the highest spiritual goal. How many of us are convinced about it? Right? But those who desire to achieve artha, dharma, kama and moksha without bhakti, they are opposers. The faithful are described with joy, the unfaithful are omitted and the opposers are lamented. So, three categories. Those who never had an opportunity to come in touch with devotees and never got the seed of bhakti, they are not spoken about here. Those who received the seed of bhakti and practicing nicely, they are glorified. Those who received it and because of offenses lost it, and therefore they have their understanding of an abhideya and prayojana have changed. One who has faith means what? His sambandha jnana, abhideya and prayojana must be clear. Sambandha is I am the servant of Krishna. Abhideya is bhakti. Prayojana is prema. So those who have lost it due to offenses, for them their sadhana and prayojana they change. The cause is their ignorance. Though they may study the scriptures, they do not understand the final meaning. They oppose the Lord's topics because of great offense, either recent or ancient, like that. Yeah.
I heard that due to offenses, the bhakti is covered, but the access to bhakti what he has done previously is removed.
Yeah. It is mentioned in that way, but if you read Madhurya Kadambini, there it is mentioned, it is covered. So what uncovers it? He says he has to come in touch with devotees, accumulate the Agyat Sukriti, and then he says gradually it is revealed. What is gradual? He says Adav Shraddha Atha Sadhu Sangha Bhajanakriya Anartha Nivritti Nishta Ruchi Asakti Bhava Prema. That's how it is given. See, whether someone has committed offense, we may want to call it it has been covered or he has lost it. But the endeavor needed to whether uncover it or again get it is the same. The process that is described for someone who newly gets that Shraddha is the same process that is given for someone who has lost it by committing offense. Correct.
So, how it is same for the devotee
who does offense and the newly started with the devotee? In the case of Gajendra, loss due to offense is not black and white. Like, we are also committing many offenses. But the offenses may not be sufficient to take us away from bhakti completely. Shaubari Muni is there. So he lost bhakti completely. Okay. He went and got married, but he didn't lose bhakti, right?
He again started.
Again started. So getting married is not synonymous to.
Sir, actually he was doing tapasya in Yamuna water. And then because he committed that offense, then he got attracted.
Yeah.
So then he lost the practice.
He gave up all his practice
and went. Yeah.
In one of the lectures I have heard that he has to undergo that suffering.
But in there, getting married was synonymous to this fall down from the elevated position what he had.
Yeah. So that what he had achieved, that was like a fall down from the elevated position that he had achieved by his practice of tapasya. But anyway, it was not really mentioned that he was a Shaubari Muni, was not exactly a pure devotee. But I will just read a small section from Madhurya Kadambini, where this point is discussed. It will become little more clearer.
Otherwise, doubt will remain.
Yeah. But in one sense, after reading also, you will realize that whether it is covered or whether it is lost, endeavor needs to be there. So,
Yeah.
So that's a good example. Sometimes you have built a house and you have destroyed it. Some way it got, you know, partially destroyed. The money it takes to repair that house is almost the same as the money it takes to build a new house only. Something like that.
Like example, apartment.
Achha, they are doing same thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So here it is mentioned, the case of the offender losing the mercy of the name is similar to a subordinate who is offensive to his vastly wealthy and capable master, the holy name. So he is talking about eradication of offenses, anarthas. How the eradication of anarthas is gradual and it's not immediate. So he gives the example of a master. So if the master is a billionaire and the servant wants some 50,000-60,000 for his daughter's marriage, the master can easily give that money to the servant. But if the servant is very offensive, then the master will not give. So if one performs offensive bhakti and the results don't come, it's not that bhakti or the holy name is not capable of bestowing that mercy, but it's just that, it's just like the relation between an offensive servant and a capable master. So non-bestowal of mercy does not indicate incapability, but it just indicates offensive nature of the servant. So he is denied proper care and is treated indifferently by the master. As a result, that person comes to suffer poverty and distresses of all sorts. It should be known that a master neglects a servant who is offensive and no one else is capable of helping him. Karma Jnana Yoga. If the offending servant again puts himself at the beck and call of his master, which means he has to come back to the original level of faith, then what happens? The master gradually shows mercy and that person's sufferings are step by step eliminated. In the same way, the offending devotee will at first suffer some miseries. As he performs sincere service to the devotees, the scriptures and the spiritual master, the name will again gradually manifest mercy and gradually eliminate his evil tendencies. So it's a gradual process. It's not that today I committed an offense, everything got covered, tomorrow I repent and day after tomorrow I will get it back. It's not like that. Thus one cannot argue against the gradual elimination of anarthas. Someone may argue that I have never committed any offenses. He says one should not make such statements. Even though the offense may not have been done recently, it may have been done in the past. But one can infer the existence of offenses by their effect. What is the effect? When one chants, tears are not coming. Tadashmasaram hridayam batedam. That is the effect. Seeing the following verse, then he quotes this interesting verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sandhu. Kete aparada viprendra namno bhagavata kritaha vinignanti nrinam krityam prakritam hi anayantihi. He says, O foremost of brahmanas, what are the offenses against the name of the Lord which cancel the results of all of one's performances and lead to a material conception even of transcendental topics? So material conception of transcendental topics means one loses Shraddha. Because what is the qualification for bhakti? Jata Shraddho Mat Katasu. Shraddha in the topics of the Supreme Lord. Shraddha in the topics of the Supreme Lord means what? Having faith that it is transcendental. So when one loses that faith, are there really offenses which can take one to that stage? So Srila Vishnajagadagur writes, in other words, repeated hearing and chanting the Lord's name should give prema. Like what we are doing, repeatedly chanting and hearing, it should give prema. Serving the sacred tirthas should bestow perfection. And tasting repeatedly the ghee, milk and betel prasadam should destroy all desires of sense enjoyment. So, not the betel nut inside, but the betel prasadam, it's allowed for the householders. They can take that for. So, what are the grave offenses which cancel? Of course, the focus of this is not the betel prasadam. So, so these are all different devotional activities which have a tremendous potential for devotional advancement. So, what are the grave offenses which cancel these results and cause all these spiritually potent activities to appear material? So, at some point, a person may start seeing these activities as material. This very startling and unnerving question is being raised. So it is really unnerving. That is why so many devotees raise their hands and are asking this question. Is it true? Really? Because, you know, it's scaring us. We all heard that Neha Bikrama Nashosti Pratyavayona Vidyate Swalpamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobayat. But now you are telling that, you know, I will lose my devotional credits. What is this? If this is so, does it follow that a person who commits a namaparad becomes averse to the Lord? And thus cannot even take shelter of Guru or perform devotional activities? There are cases of people returning their beads to their spiritual master and leaving. We should not be surprised. Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, this is true. As during a serious fever, losing all taste for food, a person finds it impossible to eat. So a person who commits a serious offense loses scope for hearing. Scope here means taste. Loses taste and faith. Loses taste or scope for hearing, chanting and performing devotional activities. There is no doubt about it. However, if the fever lessens with time, if some taste for food develops, even then, nourishing foods like milk, rice cannot give their full power of nourishment. Which means, even if the person goes out, he will start getting attracted only to the peripheral activities of devotional service. Not the core activities immediately. Just like a person who is coming to Krishna consciousness, initially starts getting attracted to the peripheral activities, stress control, JOSD, time management, stress management, that kind of topics. Then slowly, by proper association of devotees, he comes to the core activities. Even then, nourishing foods like milk and rice cannot give their full power of nourishment to the person suffering from chronic fever. They bestow some benefit but cannot relieve him of his wasted condition. Yes, his healthy spiritual condition has been wasted. He has lost it. He has again become sick now. An invalid's diet and medicine can, however, with time, restore him to his previous healthy condition. This one line is what sort of indicates that it is covered. It's not lost. Because there is talk about restoration to his previous healthy condition. So, what does it take to restore him to his previous healthy condition? He explains in the next slide. At that time, the full potency of normal food can be utilized by the body. In the same way, after a long period of suffering the effects of aparad, the intensity reduces somewhat and the devotee develops a little taste. That little taste is what? Adav Shraddha. Again the devotee becomes qualified for bhakti, which means he gets that Shraddha back. Then what happens? Repeated doses of hearing and chanting the Lord's name, which means bhajana kriya, and performance of other devotional processes, gradually everything is revealed in progression. What is that progression? Adav Shraddha Tatasadhu Sangha Ata Bhajana Kriya Tato Anartana Vrittisya Tato Nishtaru Chistata. That he has to go through that same thing again. And eventually, if he sincerely practices, whatever level he had achieved before, he reaches that, and maybe even he may even cross that and go further. But the point is, the means to reach there is the same. Again, he has to get attracted to the sadhu sangha and gain those necessary sukritis which he had lost by committing offenses. And slowly, 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 he develops the faith. Then again, he seeks sadhu sangha, then bhajana kriya, then anartana vritti, like that. Punarmoshika bhava. Yeah. Okay. So we will take 2-3 more quick questions and then we will move on.
The acceptance of bhakti or previous whatever he has done, the development of that will be at the same rate as a new sadhaka?
Yeah. It may even be slower because of depending on the nature of offenses. Sometimes it could be a permanent damage also. Like it is mentioned in the case of the four Kumaras, we will see in one of the later chapters, that because of their offense to Jaya and Vijaya, considering it as a very serious offense, Vishnu Jagadagur writes that they had the potential to go further in their spiritual life, but their spiritual progress got stunted at Shantarati. He says that because of their offense, they got stuck up at Shantarati. So sometimes it's a permanent damage also, depending on the nature of offense also. See, that's what I mentioned. He remembered, maybe the nature of offense could not have been significant for him to completely lost. So that way, day in and day out, we may also be committing offenses. But that does not mean, but it may not be sufficient enough for us to completely go out of the realm of devotional. It may not be sufficient offenses also. So that way, definitely, Gajendra had not committed so much offense that he had totally gone out of bhakti. That is not mentioned. Yeah, Ram Bhadrabhu.
Yeah, you were explaining about how Kumaras, they were able to respect everything. I think further in Nitro Devotion also, it's mentioned that even if somebody attains higher rasa,
That gets
come down.
Correct.
Because of the offense.
Correct, correct. Yeah. Yes.
Not obvious, but an attachment.
Oh, Bharat Maharaj, his apparent attachment was created by the Supreme Lord to intensify his attachment. So, there are two angles from which that pastime can be looked at. One angle is, he got attached to a deer. And therefore, he had to take 2-3 more births. So therefore, for sadhakas, be careful about what you get attached to. Don't get attached to something which is not conducive for your devotional development. That's one angle from which that pastime can be analyzed. But from that angle, you should not analyze the stage of bhava. So that is not what it is meant for. The other angle is, Bharat Maharaj, he got attracted to a deer, which is very much uncharacteristic of a person who is at the stage of bhava. First thing, a person at the stage of bhava can never get attracted to such things. That is one thing. So, the Acharya has very clearly explained that attraction was created by Krishna. He got the body of a deer. But which deer would run to Pulaha Ashram to hear Krishna Katha? It is mentioned that in the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj, that soul of Bharat Maharaj, had 1,000 times more attraction to Krishna than when he was in the body of Bharat Maharaj. So, what's the problem in being in the body of that kind of a deer? And then it is mentioned that then when he got the body of Jadabharat, he had 1,000 times more attraction to Krishna than which he had in the body of a deer. So from one point of view, you know, there are lessons for the sadhakas, but from other point of view, when you have to understand the position of someone at the stage of bhava, then we have to understand that it was orchestrated by Krishna to intensify his, like in the case of Narada Muni, he did it by showing and withdrawing that form. So that intensified the eagerness. Similarly, he, for Bharat Maharaj, he orchestrated it in this way. Like that. Yes, bro.
Leshmatra,
it's there, but not so much to take him, you know, not sufficient to make him attracted to, at the stage of bhava, it is difficult for him to get attracted to something very mundane. Yeah, one last point.
Guruji, in daily life, we so many offenses happen. So, is it that when our devotional credits go down, right?
Yeah.
Do we have to undergo the same struggle that we underwent to come to that level again?
If the offenses are significant, then it becomes difficult, all the more difficult. Same struggle, and if more offenses, then we may have to struggle even more to come back.
Somebody may come against struggle, but tendency to go often doesn't
go. That is also there.
Nature or tendency is there.
Yeah.
Again, fix it with progress.
That is why in Harinam Chintamani, there is a very, even though it is talking about the nectar of the holy name, practically 80% of the book talks about offenses only. one chapter, one offense, and very in-depth analysis of why this offense is committed, what is the root cause of this offense, how can you overcome the offense, very, very practical suggestions are given. Because ultimately he says that a person never goes beyond the aparad naam and comes to the naam aparad naam abhas, because you know, there is no concerted effort to come out of the offensive mentality. Because these 10 offenses, even though we chant every day, but it's actually very, very deep actually. If you see it, you know, very practical suggestions are given to overcome these 10 offenses also. So understand the root and address the issue at the root, and slowly one can come out of it. Very practical, you know, suggestions are given. One last and then we have to move on. See, generally, because of that, one may not leave. But if that manifests in the form of the 7th offense, namno balad yasya hi papa buddhi, then that's a problem. If one thinks that my practice of bhakti will save me, then it becomes an aparad. So then by continuous commission of that offense, one may leave devotional service.
For example, if you break the regulative principle,
yeah.
Then what is the effect of that?
It depends on the mentality with which he broke that principle. If he moves out of the realm of Shraddha, then he will get sinful reaction also. If he is within the ambit of devotional service, if still the Shraddha is there, he may not. But the point is, whatever he identifies as a prayojan, the path to attain that prayojan becomes very difficult. He is punished in a language in which he can understand. Like for a person who is a karmakandi, you say you will get sinful reaction, that is a big thunderbolt on him. You will get some pious reaction, it's a great reward for him. So the reward and punishment value system, it changes from Shraddha to Shraddha. Like for example, you will see in many of the Bhagavatam Falashrutis, it will say that whoever hears this pastime will get lot of piety and they can stay in Swarga. Like that, such kind of, even Bhaktirasam Sindhu, so many such things are there. But one may wonder, will I also have to go to Swarga and enjoy for so long? It's not like that. Such verses are given just to show that devotional, this activity is potent. What it means is the punishment and reward is according to the qualification of that person. If someone is on the level of karmakanda, by hearing this pastime, whatever is his cherished goal, he will attain. And whatever is his obstacle, it will be removed. So what will be removed? Papa will be removed, he will get punya. What if a nishkama karma yogi, if he hears this pastime, what does he identify as a goal, prayojan? Nishkama karma yogi. What is his prayojan? Liberation. Liberation and purification of heart. What does he identify as obstacle? Material attachments, pious or impious, both he sees as obstacle. So when a Nishkama Karma Yogi hears that same pastime, let's say Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, will he get pious result? He will achieve his goal. Same way, when a devotee hears that pastime, what will he get? Is it raining or? Acha? So during rainy season, how do you have then classes here? Okay, anyway. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah. Good. So, for a devotee, what he identifies as prayojan is Krishna Prem. And what he identifies as an anartha or a stumbling block is anything that is pratikul to bhakti. It may be pious, it may be impious. So, he will not be penalized in terms of giving a, in terms of papa and punya. He will be penalized in terms of an encouragement towards his goal, that will be his reward, and penalized in the form of making that approach to that goal very difficult, in the form of some unfavorable impressions. That's how he will be punished, like that. Yeah.
In Bhagavatam Mahaprabhuji, in Aprathu Maharaj section, if you see, at the end they have given Falashruti that whoever reads Aprathu Maharaj story,
whoever
reads this narration of Aprathu Maharaj, then he will conquer all the enemies.
He will conquer all the demons.
Enemies and
all the enemies.
Victory,
okay.
He will get like that. So for person who wants victory, if he reads that, he'll get it.
As per for person
who wants victory.
He will get victory.
As per his faith, he'll get that. Correct. But if a devotee, when he reads that, then he thinks that if I read this, then I'll get victory over my anarthas. So will he get that?
Yeah.
As per
actually, practically, all these pastimes of Bhagavatam, they help, depending on the qualification of the reader, it helps him, it takes him closer to his, what he identifies as a prayojan, and removes what he identifies as an obstacle to achieving that prayojan, whatever may be the qualification of the person who is hearing it, be it a nishkama karma yogi or a karma kandi or a devotee. That's the understanding.
So means progress in bhakti or bhagavatam reading will also depend on our faith or with what angle we are approaching.
Yeah, that is why whether it is any Vishnu tattva, whether it is the holy name or bhagavatam or the deity form of the Lord, they are called chintamani, as in harinama chintamani. So it is mentioned that they are addressed as chintamani because they will fulfill all your desire, whatever may be your desire. But your desire will not be purified. Desire will be purified only by a devotee. But whether it is holy name or deities, they will fulfill your desires very fast, whatever may be that desire. That is why they are compared to chintamani.
But fulfillment of desire, it will be different from the way demigods fulfill. Means they'll protect and fulfill, correct? Or they'll fulfill anyhow.
Oh, the demigods fulfilling the desire, the extent to which the demigods can fulfill the desire is also, the scope of fulfillment is very less. And second thing is, if someone is worshipping Vishnu to fulfill his material desires, he has a better chance of appreciating another Vaishnava. Because he sees, oh, you also worship Vishnu, then you are my friend. You know, that kind of a camaraderie he feels. So a person who worships, that is why it is called Udara Dihi, of magnanimous intelligence. Because if a person worships Vishnu for material purpose, then he has a better chance of appreciating a pure devotee for that reason.
Prabhuji, my question was, like, if we pray to demigod for some benediction, so that benediction will be harmful for us.
Yeah, it may be harmful, because when you worship the demigod and they fulfill, then your faith in that demigod becomes more and more strong.
So like if you go to shopkeeper and if you ask him, I want chocolate, like a child goes, and it is bad for him, but still the shopkeeper will give. So like that demigod also will give, irrespective of it is good or bad for him.
Krishna will also give.
Now in case of this Bhagavatam, he'll give.
So Krishna will rectify that desire through the devotee.
That is the difference. Means that still remains.
But he will directly give you whatever you ask for.
But first he'll rectify and then only give.
He may rectify. The point is, because he is worshipping Vishnu for fulfilling that desire, he has a better chance of appreciating a devotee. That's the point. Should we continue, Prabhu, or... Yeah, it's very...